'Tis the day before Christmas, and many of us have been wandering as we wander through all of the tinsel and the marketing and the list, the events, moving with our host of angels towards just the next holiday requirement, from the North Pole to Rudolph to Santa Claus. We've decorated the trees, we've made the cookies, we've lit the solstice flames, and some maybe even menorah candles. And here we are. We have arrived. This is it. I recently went to see The Christmas Carol, and I'm always amazed at the conversation right in the beginning between Scrooge and his nephew, and Scrooge is a humbug and saying there's nothing good about the season. And he's like those war people at Christmas, you know, marching on, doing what has to be done, setting priorities, and then there's the nephew saying, no, this is the one time of the year when people can actually open up their hearts for forgiveness and love and generosity, and though it doesn't bring me a penny of gold or silver, it is the most precious day of the year. The soldiers in the trenches. We are always vying at this time of year between that little humbug that lives within us that wants to be against the marketing, against the hype, not spending any more money, and who wants to give gifts anyways, and oh my God, look at this person on this list. I know they're going to give me a present, so I have to get them a present. And then you always come up one short, right? Somebody walks in and hands you in your present. You're like, oh, God, I forgot them. Happens every year to me. So that little bit of spark is in all of us that wants the truce, that wants to believe in the peace and the joy and the goodwill. Somewhere in between all the myths and the miracles surrounding the first Christmas, that first Noel, and the pagan rituals that always are trying to get us to nurture ourselves in the darkness of those caves, there is a timeless message about what each one of us struggles with for our whole life. That's the foundation of religious stories and scriptures. And we seek it year after year, century after century, looking for something real, something we can believe in, a truth. And that's what keeps the story relevant and alive, and why we tell it every single year. Jesus' birth was nothing supernatural. It did not occur on a silent night in a little town of Bethlehem with the star. There was no announcements, no angels singing. And the myth really was created for a very institutional purpose. Jews needed a Messiah. They needed that King of Israel, and they needed it to be proven by all the thousands of years of Scripture that predicted it. So the writers of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, whoever they were, all wrote different stories at different parts of the first 200 years after Jesus was born. And the first one was Matthew, and he knew all the stories of the scribes and how Herod had been quoted in the Hebrew text that wise men would be there, and Jesus' royal lineage had to be proved because it was important that he be of the house of David, and that's why we have that whole they begot who in the first chapter to make sure that we got it and that the prophecy was fulfilled. And so he had Mary and Joseph living permanently in Bethlehem, and the star stopped right over their house and shone directly on their house to guide all those wise men to Jesus. The story clearly serves Matthew's intentional messianic message, and he was being a good Jew, making sure that this person that was born and who had lived and died could be claimed as the Messiah for the Jews, the King of Israel. Now, the very next writing of Mark puts Jesus' birth in Nazareth. And so the two are vying for each other, right, for the story. And then it was somewhere around 90 CE that the author of Luke wrote the story that combined Matthew and Mark. So Luke told the Bethlehem story, very different from Matthew. And like Mark, Luke is quite clear that Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. Luke, like Matthew, wanted people to believe that Jesus was in the Messiah and the heir to the royal line of David. So he twists the story up a little bit and creates that great story about the taxes and the decree from Caesar Augustus where all the world would go to be enrolled, which gets Joseph out of Nazareth to Bethlehem. Really ingenious. Then on the journey to Bethlehem, Joseph is supposed to have taken his wife, but not really he was not the father of the baby, because we know that other part of the story had to be that it was God's son. So that was the other part of the messianic message. So there she is, great with child. Well, women were never counted for anything, so she did not need to go to Bethlehem. And what was this man thinking to take a pregnant woman on a donkey 94 miles, right? And one biblical scholar, a woman, wrote, only a man who had never had a baby could have written such a story. And so it came to pass. Joseph happened to be in Bethlehem when his wife delivered her firstborn child, fulfilling all the Hebrew scriptures, so Jesus could be the Messiah. Such an ingenious solution enabled Luke to combine Jesus' origins of Nazareth with the Messiah, the city of David, the lineage, and Bethlehem. Now, most biblical scholars agree that there's probably no truth in any of the Gospels. They all had a political purpose in their writing. There was a reason why they wrote. There was a reason why in 327 their stories were chosen to be in the Bible, though I think if I had been a scholar at the time, I would have taken one story, not three completely different stories. How do you make that, like, be a literal Bible person and believe all three stories? I don't know, but then again, I wasn't around. So, the ancient astrologers did not follow a star, and there were no wise men or women bearing gifts. And we keep telling the story, though, don't we? We try to create more inclusive, politically correct versions of the story, but we do repeat them year after year. I don't know about you, but I'm reading Luke tonight. Are you? Sunshine is reading Luke. So, the story of Luke, and so it came to pass, will be part of our Christmas Eve stories. But the story of Christmas Eve, the reason why we keep this season, why we continue to wander and wonder, is much bigger. It's bigger than Santa Claus. It's bigger than solstice. It's bigger than the Christmas trees and the manger. I think what the myth does, all of the myths, whether it's Rudolph or Santa Claus or Jesus, the myths crack us open. The stories make us start to think about what's possible, to think about our connection to all those people throughout history for 2,000 years that needed something to believe in. The desolate places in the earth have been there for thousands and thousands of years. The wars have been fought for thousands and thousands of years. And individual people, soldiers in the trenches, all want to believe that it's for something, that it's not forever, that human beings can actually leave their warring and their hating and their exclusion and their power behind, if only for a day. We fail sometimes, not allowing ourselves to be touched by the story, our own little Scrooge hearts resisting for whatever theological or mythical reason that we don't want to believe. Then we miss the point, because the point isn't to prove the story true. The point is to be cracked open. The point is to be renewed. The point is to strive another year for something truer, better, higher. We all need an anointed one. We need a Messiah who will bring peace and justice, righteousness to the world. Don't we look for that Messiah all around us, every year in the election season, hoping this one might be the real thing. This one might have that fearless integrity that thwarts the system, thwarts the hunger for power, and actually does right by all people. What a gift. What a gift that would be. That power of myth, those stories, can awaken us to a new destination. And the truth of the stories is it's not about the characters in the play. It's about us. Because only you and I can make that pilgrimage and arrive at the destination, at the justice, at the peace, at that place of fulfillment that only human hands can offer. So, Christmas is about breaking bread with friends, for allowing ourselves to be cracked open that we might follow a new star, creating a miracle in our lives, in our neighborhoods, in our churches, that only love can inspire. It's really important to remember it's not about the accuracy of history. Christmas is all about letting go of logic, letting go of history, just long enough to be transformed. It happens to me every year. I was sitting up here with Asia at the beginning, just crying, thinking about what a privilege it is, year after year, to bring some meaning to this day. And how every year I think, oh God, I don't know what to say this year. And every year, the story cracks me open. And you allow all the memories of Christmas past to flood in. And you look forward to the new memories that you'll create. The new stories, the new gifts. And like wise men and shepherds, wise women and shepherdesses, we begin the journey over and over again, year after year, moving toward that mystery, that wonder. The love that Jesus, the human being, born in Nazareth, embodied. Bethlehem was his symbolic destination, as it is still for us. The place where mystery and human life come together, encouraging every one of us to keep alive that flame of hope. There is meaning and purpose in Christmas, a truth revealed every year that we can each hold on to. Every time a warm hand reaches out to comfort another, that is Christmas. Every time someone puts aside their anger and strives for understanding, that is Christmas. Every time a heart lifts up out of loneliness, sadness, fear, or dread to sing a carol, that is Christmas. And every time people forget their differences and honor their compassion, that is Christmas. That manger is a vivid reminder, an affirmation of the sacred in every human being, the potential in every single birth. With courage and simplicity, one babe grew to manhood and brought to the world a story that has been alive for 2,000 years. Beyond all the glitter and tinsel, that story remains. So, as we prepare to once again welcome that precious family into our lives, to journey with them to the stable, let's remember the truths of their lives. The truths that one family, taking care of one another, swaddling a baby and placing him in a manger, is what human families are all about. May their story renew our faith, inspire hope, not only in each other, but in ourselves, that we may each walk into a new year with new purpose and greater courage.